Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So last week we jumped into the Word of God, but here's the thing. I don't want to just come and talk to you. That's not. I want to see lives changed. That's my heart, it's my passion, it's my desire. So we're going to jump straight into the Word today. I don't know that I've ever received as much feedback as I am receiving in this series on alignment. Typically, most series at Enjoy Church will go for 3, sometimes 4 weeks. What are we now? End of April, and we're still going. It's like, well, when's this series going to end? I'm not too sure. I don't necessarily think that an alignment series should ever end. Hopefully, every sermon we preach at Enjoy Church will help you to align yourself with the Word of God, with the Kingdom of God, the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to keep going. Now, we all want heaven to touch down in our lives. Amen? All right, you know I'm going to give you a hard time today, don't you? You know I'm going to come after you. Because how many of you know, it's like you receive the promises of God, you inherit them with a yes and amen. Yes and amen. Sometimes we talk about the promises of God. No. It's like we receive them with a yes and an amen. We want heaven to touch down in our lives. We want heaven to touch down in our world. Amen. Now, if we want heaven to touch down in our lives and in our worlds, this is the reality of it. We will need to align ourselves with heaven because heaven sure ain't going to align itself with us. Amen. You know what I'm speaking is the truth today. So now as we dive into the Word of God today, we're going to be looking at what it means to be aligned in relationship to our relationships. Relationships. How many of you have got wonderful relationships? How many of you would like to have wonderful-er relationships? Now, how many of you know wonderful-er is very bad English, very incorrect English, but how many of you know it says what I wanted to say? We want relationships that really do reflect the Kingdom of God while we are living here on earth. Church, please understand the direct correlation between your destiny. How many of you know you have a destiny? Yeah. What did Jeremiah 29, verse 11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You have a destiny in God, but there is a direct correlation between your destiny and your kingdom connections. Kingdom connections, your relationships that are God-ordained. If there's one thing I know and one thing I've seen over the years, it's the enemy. And how many of you know we have an enemy? He will work overtime to bring division between you and the kingdom connections that God would bring into your life for his goodwill and his purposes. Now, anyone who knows me, how many of you know me? Yeah. Praise God, 22 of you. That's awesome. Anyone who knows me knows that the story that I love the most in the Bible is probably the story of David and Jonathan. I love that story. I love that story. Anyone who knows me, how many of you know me? Yeah. Oh, more of you in the second time around. So you're getting to know me, so that's a good thing. Anyone who knows me knows that the story that I hate the most, get frustrated by the most, is actually also the story of David and Jonathan. And it's like, well, what is it then? Is it love the most or get frustrated the most? It's actually both. I love it the most and it frustrates the life out of me. This story begins with Jonathan's heart being knit to David's and Jonathan making a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. David's love for Jonathan, his brother, was also very, very deep. I love the best of godly relationships. They're beautiful. They're beautiful and they're pure. Praise God. Everyone say pure. Righteous. They're righteous and they're pure. They're wonderful. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 26 says, I grieve for you. This is after Jonathan passed. And David says, I grieve for you. Jonathan, my brother. He wasn't his natural brother, physical brother, biological brother. He was his spiritual brother, heart brother. He says, I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman. Now, I don't know about you. I'm thinking far out. That is a deep love. I want to encourage you. It is a righteous love, but it's like it is so deep in heart, spirit, nature. It's wonderful. It's righteous. But I believe, and I honestly believe, they both knew that this friendship, this love, This relationship, was deep and as wonderful as it was, it wasn't just for natural purposes. Praise God for natural friendships, but this was for mutual benefit and kingdom purposes. God wants to bring people into your life for your mutual benefit, but also kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose. God has got a purpose for you. What did I say before? You've got to begin to see what God has got for you. Because I promise you this, if you can begin to see what God has got for you, then you need to understand that God is going to bring people into your life, going to bring people alongside of you, that you might walk together, to step into, it'll be of mutual benefit and benefiting the kingdom of God. This is why Jonathan said in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 17, "Don't be afraid, my father." See, Jonathan knows exactly what this relationship is about. Don't be afraid. He's speaking now to David. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you." This is when David's getting a bit nervous because Saul's throwing spears at him. How many of you know that's never a good thing? But anyway, moving right along. He says, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul," he knows this. He knows what's going on. Jonathan knows what's going on. David knows what's going on. David is anointed to be the king. Jonathan realizes this relationship, it's not normal. That's why he made a covenant with him and gave him everything. He knows, "I'm going to be your right-hand man. I'm going to be at your side in the kingdom as it continues to grow." Okay, so we're in this space now. And so he knows, he understands kingdom relationship. Brothers and sisters, all over your life, there are kingdom connections that God has brought into your life. But understand this, the enemy will work overtime to bring division and separation between you and these relationships. Because if he can bring separation and division in here, he's going to separate it and divide you from the plans and the purposes that God has for you. Okay, so God brings people together relationally for their mutual benefit and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And almost immediately, we see an enemy who will go to work to rob, kill, and destroy those relationships. Now, I have no doubt, even as I'm going here now, some of you are beginning to think about people. Some of you are beginning to think about situations, circumstances, where you can see the enemy has got in. You can see the enemy is getting his claws into and bringing separation, division. Friends, I want to encourage you today, don't allow the enemy to rob, kill, and destroy those relationships that God has brought into your life for your mutual benefit and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Where does the kingdom of God reside? The kingdom of God is in the hearts of men, isn't it? God wants to do an incredible work in you, and God wants to do an incredible work through you, and it's relationally. That you will not be able to step away from the relational reality of what in regards to that which God has got for you. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy, to sow division, to bring separation and cause the destruction of that which God has brought together for his good and perfect will. So if you want to enjoy the best of earthly relationships, how many of you want to enjoy the best? You've heard me say it before. I'm never going to be a wealthy man, but I'm already the world's richest man. Richest man. And you might be like, how is that? I'm rich because of you. I'm rich because of the relationships that I have. I'm rich because of the incredible, incredible baby relationship I have with my wife. If you know what I'm saying. As in 32 years. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you, I'm more in love today than I was then. It's like, is that possible? I don't know that it's possible, but I am. And it's like, I love the fact that I've got a great marriage. Now, you might be here and saying, well, mine's not that great. Well, friends, let's go on this journey together. So we believe together you're going to have a great marriage. I love the fact that I'm so close to my children. I love the fact that I love them and they love me. And I love my Ryota, my Konnichiwa. And did I mention I'm going to be a grandfather, praise God. And that is like, every now and again, Emily will walk past and I'll say, hey, grandbaby. And it's like, do you think the grandbaby's listening? Of course. Everybody listens to me. Well, sometimes. Anyway, moving right along. I'm rich. I'm rich relationally. And I want to help you to be rich relationally. So if you want to enjoy the best of earthly relationships and kingdom connections, because the truth is my best relationships and my kingdom connections, there's such an interweaving happening here. From marriage to family to friendship to ministry to life, here are some things that you may want to consider. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Now, I love the fact that Jesus taught us to pray, but he taught us to pray this way. How many of you know? He says, pray then in this way. Our Father, how many of you know he is our Father? Our Father. Our Father who is where? In heaven. He's in heaven. Where are you? On earth. Just in case you're wondering, you're at Enjoy Church on planet Earth. All right, so pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, not Howard, hallowed, Howard is our next door neighbor. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? The Father's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven, which is where the Father is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. For yours is the kingdom forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know that's the end of the prayer? Jesus taught us to pray this way. For yours, amen. Amen. But then let's continue on. Let's continue on just for a minute. Verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. Other translations say sins. Isn't this interesting? Straight away, Jesus teaches us to pray this way. Our Father, so our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive, and then, okay, amen. Taught us how to pray. But just so we're clear, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. God won't forgive you. I know we don't like to talk about that. I imagine there's people in this room right now that are like, I don't like you anymore. And it's like, friends, brothers, and sisters, I'm just pointing out the obvious. I know we don't want to talk about it because we all have these people in our life that it's like, but you don't know what it's like. You don't know what they did. You don't know what happened. I don't need to. All I know is what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is if you forgive others, then God will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Now, I know some of you are like, why did you have to go there? Why couldn't you just stop it? Amen. I'm trying to help you. Don't be angry with me. Take it up with Pastor Mick during the week. Some of you are like, why couldn't you just stop at verse 13? Because verses 14 and 15 actually give us great insight into relational alignment from heaven's point of view. The reason we have so much trouble in the earthly realities and realms is because we come down to earthly thinking. And earthly thinking will rob you from what God is wanting to do in your life. God doesn't want you to live earthly-minded. God wants you to live kingdom-minded. And when you will elevate your thinking to the kingdom, how many of you know then it's then you're going to get kingdom reward? That's how it works. I think there are many of us that would love to compartmentalize our lives and think that we can do relationships on earth basically however we want, and that's not going to impact our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Friends, I want to tell you today, that's not the case. Not the case. I know we all want to pray, our Father who art in heaven, forgive us. But you can't have this going on without this going on. We focus on this, but God says, yes, focus on this. But understand there's not another set of values and there's not another level of righteousness this way to this way. You can't be saying this, but then doing this. Doesn't work like that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It's like there's these two lines happening. There is alignment this way and it's alignment that way. We will never have relational connection and connectivity like we want to this way. That's different to this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you sound confused. I'm trying, that's the point. You will be confused when you have this going on and that going on. It's this. It's this. God wants to touch down in you in such a powerful way that you'll understand that his word is his word and it'll change the way you live. You can't have both fresh water and salt water coming through the same fountain here. That's like, you can't be have a divided heart when it comes to your ideologies and practices, when it comes to the way you do relationship. If you're going to have righteousness this way, it has to flow that way too. We can't be praying, Lord, forgive me. And it's like, no way. It's like, I hate you, hate you. It's like, and we've been on the side. We come to church, even in church sometimes, there's a body of Christ, but we come in and it's like, yes, we want to press into the presence of God. That's in the leaders' worship team. No. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that, but we all do that. You know what I'm saying? You're getting enthusiastic because you're going, yes, I do that. Yes, I do that with my wife, with my husband, with my children. I don't even like them. You know, it's bizarre though, isn't it, that we think we can actually do life like this. Why do we, when did we buy into that lie? You can't. The word is very clear on how we're to do relationally vertically. And in the same way, the word is very clear when it comes to the way we do life horizontally. Very, very clear. So if we want the best out of our vertical relationship and we want to make the most of out of our horizontal relationships, here are some things to consider. Praise God. How many of you love some good considerations on Sunday morning? Let's consider together. As let's lean into the Word of God. Point number one, are you taking notes today? I encourage you, take notes for yourself and then take notes for your friends, all right? Then we can share them around, share the love. As in, if you weren't here, it was the first song this morning. It was awesome, all right. Point number one, forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness is not optional. How many of you struggle to forgive people? How many of you struggle to tell the truth? sometimes I struggle to forgive. And it's like, really? Are you meant to be that honest? Yes, I do struggle sometimes. Sometimes I do struggle to forgive. I think I struggle more when it comes to carrying the offense of someone else. You can do something to me, that's one thing. Do it to my wife and I want to stab you. Not literally. Not literally. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you will be offended for someone else. That's like, your children or your wife or husband or you carry it internally. Sometimes I struggle to forgive. But I want to remind you today that it's not optional. Not optional. I don't know when the church bought into the lie that we could actually choose to forgive or not. Can I encourage you? If you don't forgive the person that offended you, why do you think they care that you haven't forgiven them? Do you think they're actually laying in bed at night thinking, well, Billy, he hasn't forgiven me. Gee, I feel bad. Billy doesn't care. The only person in prison when you don't forgive is you. The only person in prison. The only person bound up, tied up, and in a place where you will not receive what God wants to pour out upon your life is you. How many of you want forgiveness? When you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Welcome to church, everybody. I hope you're enjoying yourselves. How many of you know I'm telling the truth? But we just like, but you don't understand. What I don't understand is hanging on a cross. It's a talk about an act of, here's Jesus hanging on the cross. And one of the last things he says is, Father, forgive them. Because they're loco. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Forgive them, Lord. Can I encourage you? Embrace forgiveness as a way of life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So therefore, when we do, we want to do it right this way, but we want to do it right this way. Let's make a decision today. I'm going to forgive. Think about those in your life right now that you need to forgive. Make a decision right here, right now. I am going to forgive. Point number two. Here we go. Peacemakers will be called sons of God. Peacemakers. How many peacemakers do we have in the room today? Praise God. All right. You guys are very slow to respond. Maybe because you're taking notes. Good job. All right. So you're taking notes here. You can't respond. Blessed are the peace. How many of you can see there? It does not say peacekeepers. Doesn't say peacekeepers. How many of you know there's a very big difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Can I encourage you? If you're going to be happily married, you're going to need to be a peacemaker. Amen. Because there will be days. If you're going to have a happy family, you're going to know what it is to be a peacemaker. If you're going to be part of a healthy, vibrant church, you're going to need to embrace a peacemaking attitude, peacemaking spirit, peacemaker, not peacekeeper. Peacekeeper is very different. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper will do anything to keep the peace. Sometimes I don't want to keep the peace. I want to make war that we might have peace. Sometimes you've got to fight, you've got to work, you've got to go after whatever it is you need to go after that you can actually be a peacemaker. I've got to go to work here. What does it say in James chapter 3, verse 18? And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Relationally, I got goodness all the way around. I thank God I've got so many relationships that are sweet, 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 sweet. There's goodness all the way around. But just as it says here, a peacemaker will plant. How many of you know planting is working? Working. I've got to work on my marriage. I've got to work on my family. I've got to work in our teams. I've got to work in our church here. I go to work. I go to work. I plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds. And you're like, well, when do you start reaping? I'm not too sure, but I've been reaping now for many, many, many years. But you know what? I'm not committed to reaping. I'm actually committed to planting. Planting. That's where I go to work at. I don't go to work in the heart. That just seems to return and just keep coming and coming and coming. But my commitment to work is in regard to planting seeds of peace. Peace. As in, I was talking to Michelle. Actually, I've been talking to a few people this week because I spoke into this space with our staff. And just so you know, things have probably never been better when it comes to relationships and unity and oneness. And so this is a great time to speak into it because we're enjoying such a good time. And so I spoke into it, and as a result, I had Christian speak to me, I had Michelle speak to me, I had others speak to me about the fact that they watch me, and they've watched me for many years. If there's ever any issue, I'll go after it. I'll go after it. Some of you don't like confrontation. You don't want to have confrontation. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you? There are some times you need to confront in a very healthy way, in a very healthy way. We need to talk about the issue. We need to go and make peace here. We need to have that latte, 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 latte. How many of you know God gave us latte? God gave us latte that we might sit together, have conversations and make peace. Make peace. Not just keep it, but make it. And everybody said, amen. Point number three, offenses must be dealt with. Offenses must be dealt with. How many of you have ever... Okay, how many of you have not been offended at Enjoy Church yet? Give me a wave here. Not, praise God. Take a number. We're going to get to you soon. How many of you know if you're married, you will offend each other? Jesus said offenses will come. Let's just take it right into all our spaces that are kingdom connections. If you're married, you will offend each other. If you have a family, you will offend each other. If you belong to a church and are planted, you will offend each other. How many of you know, not deliberately, we would never say, yes, let's have an offense day. Let's go offend each other. No. But it's like I say, Georgie's got the flattest toes in the world. How many of you know Georgie has very flat toes? Some of you are looking at, you can't believe I said that, can you? I can see it on your faces. It's like, she has like little squash grape toes. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have ever dropped grapes in your kitchen and you step and it's like, that's what Georgie's toes look like. Promise you. They're filthy little flat toes. No. I love them. No, baby. No. Don't be offended. Come on, baby. Don't be offended. Offense is a choice. Don't be offended, George. Don't be offended. Here's the thing. The reason, listen to me. Don't judge me. The reason she has flat toes is because we dance in the kitchen. True story. If you come to our house, you'll see us dancing. She can't keep her hands off me. But anyway, it's like, but we dance in the kitchen. When their girls were young, it used to make them sick. They'd be, because there they are and dancing away. But I stand on her toes occasionally. Like, look at the size of me. Look at the size of her toes. It's like an elephant on a grape. You know what I'm saying? I stand on her toes. Now, you might be upset because she's got flat toes. And every now and again, I stand on them. But here's the thing. I can promise you, I'm not going to give anyone else in this room flat toes. Because I'm not going to dance with you. I'm not going to do the life that closely with you. I'll do it that closely with Georgie. She's the love of my life. And there's some spaces that she comes into. And unfortunately, I step on her toes occasionally. When we do life and we do ministry together fast, how many of you know we do life fast together? Sometimes we step on each other's toes. We don't step on each other's toes because we don't like each other. We step on each other's toes because we're klutzes. We don't know our right foot from our left foot sometimes. We make mistakes and we offend each other. Not deliberately. But how many of you know there's a way to solve the issue when we offend each other? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It's gone quiet in there. You don't know whether you're going to love me in a minute or hate me. I can feel it, but it's all right. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And now, what if he doesn't listen? I'd encourage you when you go home, continue to read the scriptures, because if he doesn't listen, then you take someone else, a leader. And if they don't listen, then they'll take it to the pastors. But can I encourage you, when your brother offends you, don't go blah, 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 all over town. All right? No. We don't do gossip at Enjoy Church. We don't do that. How many of you know that's gossiping? When your brother offends you and you do not go to them, you are not obeying the word of God. You're not following scripture. You say you want healthy relationships, but when you talk against your brother, I promise you, it will not end well for you. Now, what about the brother? Don't worry about the brother. Now you've got your issues. As in, you got offended. Now you're bringing stuff on yourself. We're doing good now, aren't we? We're doing good. This is going to help you. I promise you, after 22, 23 years, we've watched it. And if you don't do it God's way, it won't work out. We have to have alignment this way, that we might have alignment that way. We can't choose to be aligned with God and not align with our brothers and sisters through the word of Christ. Can't do that. Ephesians 2, verse 26, in your anger. So when should we speak to them if we get offended? It says here in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Don't go blabbing about it. Don't go talking about it. No. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. When you start talking around about it with everybody else rather than the person who's offended you, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life and into that relationship, and division will be the outcome. Point number four. You good? Here we go. Don't sit with the perverse and gossips. Don't sit with the perverse and gossips. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, Jesus was a friend of sinners and he ate with sinners and tax collectors. Yes, he did. But they weren't his crew. They weren't his crew. He sat with them to share the good news of heaven, the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near to you today. Come on now, come on. That's what he sat with them. But they weren't his chosen ones. They weren't his crew that he did life with. No. He reached out to them. And I'll encourage you, yes, we are in the world. We're not of the world. We want to be connecting with people that don't know Jesus Christ. Absolutely. For the sake of sharing the gospel. But friends, when they become your confidants, when they become the people that are in speaking into your life the most, the chances are you're going to have trouble. Chances are you're going to have trouble. Jesus didn't choose the perverse and gossips to be his inner circle. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. Perverse and the gossips. Can I encourage you? Don't sit with people that are going to bring division into your life. You might be like, but they're my family. Whatever. Let's go back to the word. How many of you know there's not a family clause in the Bible? It's like, don't sit with these sort of people unless they're family. Bible doesn't say that. Now, I know I'm going to get right under some skin in saying this. You know, but it's true, isn't it? When it comes to gossips, I need to be with them because they're my family. No. You need to be the light of the world. You need to be the salt of the earth. When they're taking a conversation in directions, no, don't be sitting there and saying, well, I need to be a part of it. I actually think in church life sometimes this can get a little funky too, because we've all got good hearts in church. Hello. So we're having a friendship group, and then there's a group within a friendship group, or we're having a men's ministry meeting, and it's like, how many of you know gossips find each other? Gossips never find me. Gossips never find me because they know what I'm going to say. Shut up. Georgie would say it this way, for those who were offended because I said shut up. It's interesting that you'd be more offended at me saying shut up than entertaining a gossip. Church is great today. Georgie says it this way. Oh, you're obviously new to this place. We don't do that around here. If you need to say something to someone, you go say it to someone. And then if they don't listen, then bring it back here. Oh, we're rejoicing today. This is good. This will help you. Sometimes with good intentions, we get involved in bad conversations. Good intentions don't make the bad conversation right. Now you're just having a bad conversation with good intentions, but the fruit will be the same. It'll bring separation and division. Point number 5, praise God. Give respect and honor to whom respect and honor is due. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Give everyone what you owe him. If owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. For me personally, I want to try and show respect to everyone and honor to everyone. That's just the way I roll. Everyone that walks in the door, I want to show them respect. I want to give them honor. People in my life, I want to do that, whether they deserve it or not deserve it. I just want to live a life that is honoring of Christ, and I want to show respect and I want to honor. This is what I'd say. Husbands, can I encourage you today? Respect your wives, love your wives, and respect your wives. Every man, every husband, can I encourage you? Grow in this. Respect your wives. Wives, can I encourage you today? Honor your husbands. Honor your husbands. I promise you, you honor your husband, he'll be a better husband. You gossip about him behind his back, he's going to be the mongrel you say he is. That's the way it works. You speak it out of your own mouth. Start calling him a champion to his face. Start spreading the word. My husband's a champion. My husband's a champion. Husbands, I want to encourage you. Respect your wives. Respect them. Honor them. Don't be talking to your mates about your wives. Don't be talking, if you need help in your marriage, then you go speak to pastors. Don't be talking to your mates about your wives. It's a disgrace. You say, Shane, are you speaking to anyone? I'm speaking to everyone. As in, you do this and God will honor it. You don't do these things and you wonder why it's like, why is it? Why isn't it happening right out here? It's because we're saying we want this, but we won't do that. It doesn't work like that. Yes, we come into alignment this way, and then the fullness and the fruitfulness of the alignment this way is we'll have it that way. We've got to embrace the righteousness this way and let it go that way. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Point number 6, I've got to go. Here we go. Point number 6, we must commit to the way of love. The way of love. Can I encourage you today? Commit to the way of love. In all of your relationships, in all the way you do life, the way you do church, the way you do family, commit to the way of love. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. I like the way the Bible says what the Bible says. Sometimes we try to interpret, we try to soften it, we try to make it palatable because we don't want to offend people. I think I said it last week, I want to offend the hell out of people. And sometimes you just got to read the Bible because the Bible is so clear, so clear. I love God yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The way you love each other is... You can't love God if you don't love each other. You can't do it. And it's like, I like last week's sermon better. It was more fun. Yeah, I know, but it's not always fun. Sometimes we need to grab it, grow in it. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Point number 4, Build your relationships on rock. How many of you know the Word of God is our rock? The Word of God is our foundation. We want to build our relationships on rock. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. All right. Not just here. Well, I went to the church, heard a great sermon. What did they do in your life? Nothing. Did you put it into practice? Because it's the putting into practice that'll cause the fruit to come back into your life. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We want to be like wise men and women of God who hear the word of God and put them into practice. At some point, even though Jonathan knew that his relationship with David was for their mutual benefit and for the advancement of the kingdom of God, at some point, he stopped building upon the rock, the truth of God's word. Truth of God's word. As a result, division and separation came. This story isn't just about families. This story is about the flesh and the spirit as well. Flesh and the spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 41, it says, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times. With his face to the ground, he loved him this much. We all know that David was going to be the king and Jonathan was going to be at the right-hand side. But in this point in the story, they're now going to go their separate ways. David loves Jonathan. He bows before him three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other. And obviously, in the context of where they're from, it's perfectly natural and perfectly honoring and love. And it's beautiful. And then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. But David wept the most. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it was actually Jonathan who made the covenant with David. And now they're separating and David is weeping the most. Why is David weeping the most? Because he knows this isn't just the end of a friendship, but this is the end of the plans and the purposes that God had for us. He's bleeding on the inside because he's about to watch his brother make a decision that would bring separation, not just in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And David wept the most because he understood that this was way more than just a separation of friendship. 1 Chronicles 10 verse 6 says, so Saul and his three sons, which of Jonathan is one of them, died. And all his house died together. There was a point where Jonathan, even though he knew that he was meant to side with the spirit, got too much for him and he went back to the flesh. We have a spiritual family, we have a fleshly family. We have a spiritual reality, we have a fleshly reality. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is always weak. And as a result, the pressure got too much. Family pressure, other friends pressure. There's so much pressure coming onto all of us that wants to bring division between us and God. And some of the ways that pressure is going to come is through these relationships. Jonathan got to a point where he couldn't handle his dad anymore, couldn't handle the brothers anymore. You've got to be with us. You're one of the family. Blood is thicker than water and all that sort of stuff. I actually think blood is thicker than water, and the greatest blood of all is the blood of Jesus, which unites us in our faith and in our life together. I love my family. Don't get me wrong. I love my family. I thank God for my family. I love my family. But at the end of the day, I am a spiritual man with a spiritual future. I have a spiritual father, and he's saying, Shane, if you do it this way, then you need to embrace and let it go that way as well. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, embrace the word of God. Build your life upon the rock, and don't allow the enemy to come and bring division. Don't give the enemy a foothold. When you depart from the word of God, you will give him a foothold. I understand that, you know, when it comes to being a peacemaker, it's one thing I've discovered. I can't be at peace with everyone. But like the scripture says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. All I can do is I can do. I'm going to go and have conversations. I'm going to go and have latte and have that conversation. I'm going to stop listening to people that I shouldn't listen to. And I'm going to lean into the things of God. I'm going to grow up and be the man of God that I want to be. I want to be God honoring. I want to be wife honoring. I want to be children honoring. I want to be you honoring. I want to give you respect and the honor that you deserve. I want to live a life that brings honor and glory to God. And in all of that, You know what I find? As I do all of that, so, work. Then all of a sudden this harvest comes home. How many of you want to do better in relationships? Just out of curiosity. I want to do better. Help me, Lord, to do better. Father, I pray today. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this wonderful group of people, this wonderful group of enjoyers, Lord God, family, Lord God. We're spiritual family together. Lord, I pray for them now and I pray for them always, Lord God, that they would enjoy, Lord God, a harvest of goodness, Lord God. I pray and I ask, Lord God, that they would enjoy the wonderful, wonderful realities of relationships, Lord God. Lord, kingdom relationships, whether they be marriages, whether they be covenant relationships, or just God-ordained relationships, whatever the case may be, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that we would do relationship and we would do life in a way that honors you. So we look to you today. We look to you today. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, we choose to forgive those who have sinned against us. Right here, right now, we choose to forgive those, Lord, who have spoken harshly, who have spread lies, who have done terrible things to us, whatever they may be. We choose to honor you, Lord God. We choose to honor you. We choose to forgive. It's what you did, Lord. It's what we do, Lord. We forgive. We won't be gossiping. We won't be talking to people about people. We'll be talking to the people that we need to talk to. We'll have the right conversations in the right places, and we'll get ready for the life that you've got for us. So this day and every day, Lord God, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, we ask your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us have the best of relationships on earth in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you, enjoyers.